Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Telesales 2.0 and B2B Sales Podcast. And today I have Dan Sixsmith back. We were talking about sales leadership and really their level of involvement that they need to have to be able to make a difference and where that difference starts. And so I want to welcome Dan and get the conversation going.
Hi there.
Hey, Dan. It's great to have you back again.
Hey there, Marianne. Yeah, happy to be back. How's everything going?
Really good. Hey, you know, it was interesting because you and I were talking earlier and I thought, hey, let's just, like, podcast this. So we were talking about, I run into this a lot because there's a lot of different things going on in the sales space. So you have a lot of sales coaches and sales trainers and sales mentors and thought leaders and all this. And, you know, there's a lot of things that reps can tap into, but it also requires leadership at their company to really execute on this stuff because a rep can really only be as effective as their environment enables them to be. And I know you've got some thoughts about that. And so I wanted to ask, like, what do you think that there are a couple of things that leadership in sales organizations can do that is a little different than what they're doing now, but that could make some big impact on productivity?
Yeah, it's a great point and a good question. I think it starts with the hiring process, you know. I think there's been so much written about, what the profile of a modern seller looks like today versus, you know, the old school kind of relationship person. There's a lot more, analytics involved, technology, looking for people that are more curious. A lot of people are talking about more introverts, that are kind
exactly.
of, you know, more focused on the other person than themselves. So it's almost like the job description is changing. So, you know, is the leadership looking at an old job description for, possibly the wrong type of seller at the beginning, you know, so are they interviewing the right people? Are they getting the right people in there? And then, you know, are they evolving into modern leaders, right? Are they just pipeline managers or are they truly coaching and seeing, you know, putting into place a process of modern selling, right? Are they going out there and just throwing up PowerPoints and just spending 90% of the time talking? Or are they truly being consultative? Are they really asking questions? Are they delivering a great customer experience? Are they delivering insights? So, you know, what I see is a lot of old school stuff and old school managers that literally are just, as you know, we said before we even got on the call, just looking at the numbers and not really, you know, doing anything about the performance and how the reps are approaching their job.
Yeah, and that's, you're exactly right about hiring because, you know, a lot of times, I ask this one question when I interview people, and I'll say, tell me about a time that you really went above and beyond for a client. And you would be surprised how many people have these bizarre answers or no answer or, you know, that just shocks them. The thought of like doing something just out of generosity to help a client, is really stretching their brain, you know, and, you know, that's very old school. Like you're just in there to close the deal and then you're out of there. But you're right. It needs to be more. They need to be a partner and a consultant with clients. They need to really help clients envision the solution. And so you need somebody with a much different skill set because, yeah, I remember, like, 15, 20 years ago, it's like the web wasn't as prolific with information, and product information wasn't out there, and customer information wasn't out there, and the sales rep was like the guardian of everything. So they had to deal with the sales rep. Like if you wanted access to a client reference, if you wanted access to data sheets and white papers or whatever it is, it's like you had to work with your rep. But now, I mean, somebody could evaluate a whole product pretty far down the road and never even talk to anybody. So what value does that sales rep add to be able to engage and improve that process and course correct any maybe wrong conclusions that the prospect drew based on their own research or whatever it is? And then how do you find people with that kind of thinking? And a lot of that is on the hiring front and asking different questions. And then monitoring. You know, I did a podcast with Diane Updike on SLMA Radio the other day, and she was saying, you know, you've got to monitor, and you've just got to have some checks in place where you've got to look and see what's happening. I know she said that every quarter they review the deals that have closed, and on average, they started interacting with closed deals like 18 months before then. So that's a lot of time to measure. It's not all about what are you going to close this month, what are you going to close this quarter. It's how are you managing this relationship and what you have in place and how do you kind of have the back and forth with marketing and the sales team and everything to make sure that everything's firing on all cylinders so that it doesn't fall apart.
And one of the biggest thing you said in there was, you know, what value add, you know, what are you bringing to the table? Because, you know, if I'm going into a sales process and I'm the customer, I don't want a salesperson regurgitating what's already on the website.
Exactly.
You know, I've seen that. I've read the white paper. What are you going to deliver to me that I don't know that's going to make me want to continue to talk to you? Because I just did a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and it was called Why Only 17% of Salespeople Get a Second Meeting. And it's because they don't add any value. They come in, and the buyer says, I don't need to talk to this guy or gal because he or she just delivered nothing of value. I could pretty much go back to the website and get all of this information, and I'll probably go to another vendor who's going to have a richer, you know, conversation with me. So,
right.
You know, that's the first question we need to be asking ourselves as salespeople, and our leader should be asking salespeople, like, what, you know, when you engage, you know, you need to know where that buyer is and what is the value add that you're going to bring to the table, you know,
right.
And how are you going to move this thing forward? And I agree with you. There's just not enough of it going on. There's not enough granular, you know, getting in there and you know, driving along to these meetings and then coaching on a frequent basis to make these reps better, you know. And
right.
I think, quite frankly, the leadership doesn't really know the modern way of selling either. You know,
yeah.
So they, you know, right? So
I agree. Yeah, a lot of it is, you know, sales is 10-plus years behind, and you know, the marketing organization has analytics and tools, and you know, they're aligning with modern digital marketing practices and all that. And sales is out there just getting meetings. You know, I remember a while back I was talking to this one company, and they were saying that they need to schedule 600 meetings to close 30 deals. And I was like,
wow.
Gosh, that's like unbelievable. But the problem with it is, what was happening is meetings were getting scheduled with people that they shouldn't been because it was all about the meeting, right? So meetings were getting scheduled that shouldn't have been, or maybe they were very early in the sales cycle, so they just kind of got tossed, and there wasn't really a good process for developing those. Anything that was stood up, you know, got maybe a couple of times trying to reschedule, then that fell apart. You know, so really it was like this series of wreckage that got to that final 30. And if you look back at everything that was lost, it's like there's still a ton of revenue in there. And that's the thing is, you know, it is people. So you can't automate everything. You've got to have a set of eyes on this stuff. You got to have somebody look at processes. You have to have somebody monitor what's going on. And you need to be able to say, hey, this is broken and we've got to fix it. And whether it's just relationship handling or data capture or, you know, content that's getting sent out, whatever it is, it has to be evaluated so that you know that you're really running a tight ship. What are some of the tools that you like right now?
What we're doing at one of my organizations is we are creating tools that help the salespeople become more consultative and help them with discovery, because that's an area where, you know, the traditional sales process has been, hey, let's talk about us, you know, and I still think salespeople are great at talking about their product and their solution and what it does. But with Alinion, we have been creating these tools which help the salespeople actually go in and gather some information and then deliver some insights, you know, based on that information and help to tell kind of a value-focused story, which to me is a nice way of, you know, making it about the customer, making it a rich kind of interactive experience, delivering them some information that they didn't have before, and then helping them with kind of the financial justification, which is kind of where some of the, you know, the process starts to slow down when people start asking for business cases. So I'm seeing a lot of good traction with those type of tools. What are you seeing?
You know, one of the things that I think that is very useful for organizations, and especially on the front lines, or anybody that needs to have conversations with somebody, are tools like Balto software. That has an AI element to it where it can listen for different words in the conversation and then remind you, like, hey, did you ask about this? Did you ask about that? So real-time feedback, it's very cool. They're a partner of ours.
That's awesome.
And that could be used by anybody. That could be used, you know, startup founders that are talking to people, all the way to sales reps or, you know, VPs and organizations. I mean, that could be used anywhere where you're having conversations with people and it's important to capture certain data points, because I think all of us have hung up the phone and said, oh, I forgot to ask about this thing. And you know, that really helps with that. There's a lot of really cool data tools out there. I do like Sales Navigator. I do like Inside View. I think that there's some very useful things. But again, you know, you've got to have the process for using them. So you can't just throw up the software in your CRM and say, hey, you've got this now, and then people don't use it. Because I know a lot of organizations, they run their utilization report, and it's like, ugh, you know, they didn't really use it, and they spent a ton of money on it. So, you know, that's another thing, is making sure that you have a rollout plan. And again, monitor. Are they using it? If they're not using it and it's a really high-value tool, it's probably because they don't know how, they forgot. You know, something's happening that is creating that.
So, yeah, are you using Navigator to just send out, you know, bulk emails versus using it as an intelligence tool to personalize and learn about your target prospects?
Yeah.
You know, so stuff like that is a case in point.
Yeah, because you can use that to, you know, augment information in accounts, and you can use it to find the right prospect and do a lot of real granular searches and, you know, find relationships with those prospects. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do in a variety of tools, and it's a matter of being able to use them correctly. You know, I like to set things up so that reps don't have to click more than a few times to get the information mm-hmm. they want. And one of the things I find on some data tools is, you know, you got to spend 10 plus minutes just to get on the right, you know, in the right segment, and then you got to find the person. And so, you know, a lot of this is a time issue. So you got to be able to optimize your processes around that so that you can get to the data fast. But I really think that management needs to just kind of say, you know what is going on in here? And, you know, take some steps to have some visibility on the team, to just look beyond the dashboard and to look at what's actually happening and mm-hmm. why is performance failing. I've read some pretty good articles that I shared one of them on Twitter about some visibility issues. Today I just shared it, that there's a lot of visibility issues going on the sales team that a lot of people aren't really willing to admit. And you've got to get in there and look and find out what's going on and fix it and not just keep skimming the top and saying, well, here's our numbers, here's this, because there's like this whole trail of destruction behind you of what you lost or what you missed or what didn't happen and all that, because mm-hmm. there is revenue on the table still.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? One of the big things that I think gets underestimated is really the value of preparation before these calls, you know, and I see a lot of winging it going on, you know, kind of, you know, you get a meeting set up. And perhaps, you know, the person that set up the meeting didn't give you a good enough understanding of what, you know, the prospect is interested in. And then the rep goes in, you know, ice cold and basically, you know, wings it. And it's like there's so much preparation required today to personalize, you know, and research and you know, research the individual, research the company, go on the social profiles, see what they're sharing. You know, that's the way you differentiate yourself. And I think, you know, reps need to know that this is not a 5-minute exercise. This could be a 2-hour process, you know, for you to really, you know, to really do a good job and to really come into a call prepared. So, you know, that's one thing I think that really needs to change. And then the other is, you know, it's a culture change, right? Is a sales leader going to come in and change the culture? You know, put in a culture of learning, a culture of coaching, a culture, you know, a culture of evolution, of constantly improving. You know, that's like a modern leader, a modern team, not the old school, you know, just looking at things, reacting, and wondering why the quota attainment numbers are plummeting year after year.
Well, there was some numbers that came out that were saying how, how much the average sales professional invests in themselves with their money every year. That number was like ridiculously low. And also, another question I ask when I'm hiring is, you know, what are some of the business books that you've read recently? That's another thing. You know, I mean, those are things that tell you how current people stay in the industry. So it's not about just getting out there and I'll share it. I got to dig it up. It's still very relevant. Harvard Business Review did they did some research on what people hire for in sales, but what prospects actually want. And it was almost opposite. It was almost opposite because sales reps that were being hired were, you know, a little bit more on, you know, dynamic and, you know, they can present and they can do this and that. And you know, so there were these, you know, a set of criteria, but really what the prospects wanted is somebody that understands their industry, somebody that understands their problems. You know, obviously it's great to have somebody that they can connect with and that presents well, but what's most important is that they know what's going on in their environment. And that was one of the lower things on the list of hiring criteria. So I thought it was
just really scary. Scary.
Because that hasn't really changed that much. And, you know, it's a big opportunity for people to do some development and think. you know, what have I done? I like to say every day spend at least 15 minutes on making yourself better. So read a blog, read a book, listen to a podcast, do something to make yourself better. And if you do that, and if you just devote that small amount every day to working on yourself, then you're going to make progress. But if you're just always on a fire drill to close something and then doing the same thing year after year, you know, you're going to see these big shifts in buyer behavior and in the sales cycle and technologies that are addressing certain functions in the sales cycle. And, you know, if you're not aware of how to work within that and still add a lot of value, it just diminishes your effectiveness as a sales rep if you're not up to speed on everything that's going on.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, there's so much written today, and I've said it, you know, people on my podcast are probably tired of hearing me say it, but there's so much written about what buyers are looking for. There's survey after survey, you know, and it's just unthinkable that we can't pivot to give them what they want. So buyers will look to a salesperson. I think there was a Miller Hyman study. Salespeople were number 7 on the list, but a subject matter expert or a thought leader was number 1. So why can't you improve yourself and make yourself into a thought leader and a subject matter expert? And you suddenly rise to the top of the list of who buyers want to speak to. So you can develop those skills, you know. So, you know, you just have to be plugged in to what the market is looking for. As you said, read the articles, you know, just go to the buyer surveys, see how the market is changing. And then you'll conduct yourself in a way that will be much different than what a lot of folks are doing today, I would imagine.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff out there that's very inexpensive. You can download lots of ebooks. There's tons of videos. If you want to better develop your presentation skills, I mean, go join Toastmasters or something, you know?
Right.
There's so many things to do that could make you better. And so the people that embrace that, you know, I've seen certain sales reps over the years that have, you know, I've watched their careers. I stay in touch with lots of them. And I don't want to embarrass people, call out their names, but they know who they are because I know years ago I ran into them, you know, with them pitching me something, and I just really commended them on what they did. And I've watched them over the years really develop themselves and really get better. And see, that's what it's all about, is it's always just constantly improving because everything is always changing. So
true.
You know, that's a good note to leave it on. But, I encourage everybody to follow Dan on Twitter and listen to his podcast, and I know you've got tons of great insight. Millennium's a great tool, so anybody that wants to check that out, contact Dan. And until next time.
Yeah, sounds good. I really enjoyed it, as always. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks.